The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. This, the law indeed, was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Maybe. Hey, watch this. I have some magic powers. Lights off. Lights on. I don't even have to look. Lights off. Lights on. How do I do that? There's a foot button, isn't there? Yeah, you found out my trick. Lights are pretty easy to come by. Here's a flashlight. Just click the button. We have light. Hey, look at this. Renee got me this for my birthday. So if I ever have to go outside after dark, isn't that awesome? It's got three settings. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So light's pretty easy to come by these days. But you know, in Jesus' day, they had to go to some work to get light. This is a little oil candle that I brought home from one of my trips to Israel, Palestine. It's a little clay pottery. Vessel that holds oil. And I suppose back in Jesus' day, they had to take some sheep wool or something and make it really fine and put it through this small hole in front so that it would meet the oil on one end and suck it out to this end where the flame was burning. And that's how it kept the flame burning, is with that oil. It's called the wick. It wicks the oil to the end of the thing that burns. And keeps the light going. But this little thing in your house wouldn't do much, would it? And it looks like it's getting pretty weak, doesn't it? I think maybe the oil's getting used up already. But this little light wouldn't do much, would it? So when John talks about Jesus as the life and light of the world, there was a lot more darkness in John's day and in Jesus' day than there is in our day. All we have to do is flip a switch and we have light. We do keep this, what we call an eternal candle in the sanctuary. And we do that. It's always lit. Sometimes maybe we forget to change it out and it might go out, but it typically burns all the time. And it does that to remind us that the light of Jesus never goes out. When Jesus is called the light of the world, it's the promise that his light burns in the darkness, that his light brings us life and the ability to see and to live lives that are blessed by God. So I want you to keep that image with you of Jesus as the life and light of the world, and recognize that in the old story of Genesis, remember, there was no life until there was light. On the first day, God created light. And once the light came, then life could break forth. And that's the same for the same is true for us, that the light, the true life that we have, comes from the light of God, Jesus, the one who abides in us and gives us life. And he gives us that life not just to keep, but he gives us that life to share. And so we're not called to be the light. John says, I'm not the light. I only point to the light. The same is true for us. We're not the light. We are called to reflect the light of Jesus. And we do that by loving our neighbors, by caring for those around us, by being compassionate and forgiving, and those sorts of behaviors that help people see Jesus in us and through the love that we share. So, thanks for coming up today. Let's have a little prayer. Jesus, light of the world, you scatter the darkness. Wherever there is darkness for anyone today, we ask you to scatter that darkness and bring your light. Let your Holy Spirit be upon your people in this new year. Let your Holy Spirit enlighten our paths to show us your way, that we might live in ways that glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Let all God's children say, Amen. This reminds me of this hat and this flashlight remind me of a story my neighbor would always tell about somebody who was trying to be helpful, and they were working in the dark, and they'd shine the light in the person's eyes as they were holding it for them. Can you see now? Can you see? Instead of shining it on the object, they would shine it in the person's eyes, so it wasn't helpful. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to ask you, what's new? What's new? I think it's a fair question, since we are still in the season of Christmas, and this being the first Sunday of the new year, of this new decade, it seems to me to be a fair question. What's new? I mean, isn't that really the point of it all? The list making, the shopping, the spending, the New Year's resolution, isn't that kind of the point? To get something new? New toys, new clothes, new shoes, a new car, a new body, a new start in the new year? Something. Surely something must be new. So what is it for you? Some say there is nothing new. The poet of Ecclesiastes writes, "What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in the ages before us." In our culture, to summarize that, we would simply say, same old, same old. Nothing new. Freddie was a neighbor of mine when I was farming back in the day, and he once said to me, he said, "Sunday is just like any other day to me." It was a sad commentary on losing the concept of Sabbath. God's day, God's gift of renewal. So what's new for you on this Sabbath day? Out of curiosity, I did a little Google search asking what is new and improved for in 2020. And the first thing that popped up was QuickBooks Desktop 2020. Ford Escape and Ford Explorer, also the Lexus RX lineup, the VW Passat. Well, so the auto industry is leading the way with new and improved. But these things have been and are not really new. I narrowed my focus to what's new in 2020, and I found things like 330 predictions for 2020, 14 tech predictions for 2020, what's ahead for science 2020. It seems as though there's really nothing new, only speculation of what might be coming. And remember 20 or 15 years ago when your business or your organization or a group that you belong to was doing their long-range planning and they called it their what? 2020 vision. Surely something must have come from that. Now, someone among us, I believe, has a new great-grandchild. That is absolutely precious. Children are a blessing. I know that we have one couple who's been worshiping with us regularly who is just a month or so into a new marriage. That's inspiring. Others have a new job or a promotion, still others a new role at work or in a spring musical. Certainly there are new opportunities, new relationships that bring joy and goodness to our lives. Now let me make one more observation and then I'll get to the point. Some among us might only be able to see loss as the only new reality of 2020. The loss of a spouse or a parent or a child. There is plenty of loss around us. Someone has once said, life is a series of losses. The loss of a job or a relationship, the loss of economic stability, the loss of independence, the loss of health, the loss of, you fill in the blank. So now let me get to the point. As John opens his proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, he uses old words, old language, to declare something new. In the beginning, John says, words that were familiar to his Hebrew audience and words that are familiar to us, in the beginning. But instead of talking about how God used God's voice or God's word to create the world, he talks about the word, the logos of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He, the Word, was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, the Word, who believed in his name, he gave power. He gave power to become children of God. Perhaps a better translation, he gave the status of being children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of man, but of God. Literally, he gave power to be born anew. So what's new? According to John, what's new is you. What's new in Christ Jesus is you and me. For you and I to say there is nothing new means that, like Freddie, who had relinquished the gift of the Sabbath, we have relinquished God's gift of rebirth. To those who received or receive him, to those who believed in him or believe or trust in him, in his name, Jesus, he gave and gives power or status to be children of God. He gives us the gift of daily rebirth through grace, undeserved and unearned love and commitment, through the forgiveness of our offenses, through our relationship with the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Through Jesus, we are new. As Lutherans, we understand this gift as being poured out in Holy Baptism, a moment when the triune God drowns the sinful self and gives us a new birth, makes us a new creation, giving us a new name and claiming us for the kingdom of God, giving us a new identity and a new home. And God marks and seals us with his symbol, the cross, and promises that we can return to these waters daily to drown the sinner that we are and to be raised up a new creation. Others understand it more from a perspective of surrendering to God or making a decision to God. But the point we share is to look to or cry out to Jesus, and through him comes new life. The consequence of believing this is astounding. The consequences are astounding. I said earlier that someone among us has a new great-grandchild. That's so awesome. But we all know as our children and great-grandchildren grow, there are stressors in those relationships. There can be hurt and there can be brokenness. And yet in Jesus Christ, whether our child is or grandchild or great-grandchild is one day or 10 days, or 10 years, or 30 years, or 60 years old, in Jesus, every day that child is new, and there is hope and promise for renewal, for reconciliation, for restoration, when those relationships become stressed and strained. In Jesus, every relationship is new. We have a newlywed couple, yes. And in Jesus, we have many newlywed couples. Whether you've been married 4 days or 4 weeks or 4 years or 40 years or 70 years, each day is a new beginning in Jesus who can bring renewal, healing, and hope. And when those relationships dissolve, when we see no hope, Jesus is there as well to renew, to give life, to strengthen, and to bless. For those among us who see only loss, who see loss as the only new reality as this new year begins, Christmas is about the Almighty, powerful, transcendent God who comes near, becomes incarnate, becomes real in the flesh. Sometimes we talk about the transcendent God, mysterious and unknowable, beyond our comprehension, which is true. But here in this celebration, God the Creator takes on flesh, our flesh, and becomes one of us, lives among us. In the midst of our darkness, in the midst of the chaos of our lives, in the midst of our loss, Jesus comes announcing life, not death. He promises that our loss is temporary. His life is eternal. Later in John's Gospel, we will hear Jesus say, "I can't come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus' way is the way of the Creator, the way of life. He is that word spoken in the midst of our chaos and darkness, who creates life where to us all may seem impossible. For Jesus not only stepped into the darkness of this world, he stepped into the darkness of hell. breaking its power to capture, to hold, to destroy life. He rose and with him made all things possible. Theologian Robert McCaffrey Brown uses in his writings the musical metaphor of themes and variations. There are many musical compositions, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, for example, which begins with a clear, identifiable musical pattern or theme. What follows in the music is a series of variations on this theme, the theme being repeated over and over with more complex combinations. Sometimes the texture of these combinations is so complex that the theme is hidden, seemingly obscured by the competing and interlocking notes. But those who have heard the theme clearly stated at the beginning of the work can still make it out, can feel the music being organized by the theme. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, giving us status as children of God. That's the theme of all of life, heard clearly by the ears of faith. And those who have heard that distinct theme can hear it being sounded wherever the music of life is being played, no matter how jangled are the false notes surrounding it. During these 12 days of Christmas, amidst all the things that pull at us, we are reminded, we are called back to where our center is to be located, where our hearts belong, to our true home, to celebrate the mystery of God becoming flesh and blood, and to joyously receive the coming of Christ among us. The Word made flesh, the Word that gives us a place at the table, that gives us life and breath and hope that never fails. God has poured upon us the new light of God's incarnate Word. We are to allow this light to shine forth in our lives. May you boldly shine today, tomorrow, and throughout 2020. May you boldly shine that all creation may be renewed and God will be praised and glorified through your life and through our life together.